now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And we thank you for sharing that with us.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Why does everyone hate Jason Tatum?
Why does everybody from Boston think everybody hates me?
Everybody hates everybody.
And he is the most disrespected superstar.
Earlier on the show, radio and sports talk icon, Chris Mad Dog Russo. Still to come, senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck, NFL Network reporter, Stacey Dales. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hey, everybody. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen while he's taking a well-deserved break, and well-deserved, I really believe, one just missed a hole-in-one by this much. And by the way, for a guy who doesn't play golf very much at all, it's kind of like the way he runs the 40-yard dash. He doesn't really warm up. He doesn't really practice. Drives me slightly insane. Hi, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
It's the second time you've said that. Do we have some type of visual
proof? I have a picture. I just have to get it to Mike Hoskins and remember to do that in between.
I can take a picture and said I have a hole in one. I don't know. I need something more than just
like
his work.
What's more photoshopped, Rich? This alleged golf photo or Joe Burrow's hair?
Well, be more bitter about it, and we will actually look at Joe Burrow's hair and try it on you shortly, maybe in the third hour.
Like, Brodwin had a CGI video of him on his Instagram of him golfing. Yeah. Like, it wasn't real.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think CGI. This is...
And you're supposed to say, missed it by that much.
I missed by that much. This is real, and it's spectacular.
Hey,
Chris.
Hey.
Hi, Mikey. How are you?
Hey, Sus.
And hi to my friend Howard Beck, with whom I covered the Lakers back-to-back-to-back. I spent more time with you, easy guys, than I did with Rich for many, many years. Calm down, all of you. This is a family program. Thank you very much. Yeah, Howard and I literally, we flew on planes together. We sat there and we did the dance. No, he never drove with me. Okay. You never drove with me, did you, Howard?
I don't think so. No, you probably had some fancy limo service that.
There we go, Howard.
You know what? I really did because Fox Sports Net really loved paying you the big bucks for all the fancy bells and whistles. I did have at one point a Saab 900 turbo convertible, and I remember coming out of practice one day and Shaq saw the car and he tried to get in it and he couldn't sit in the front seat. He's like, "Well, if I had this car, I would take out the seat." I was like, please don't ruin my car. Hi, Howard. Good to have you here.
Susie, great to see you again. Good to be here.
Always fun to start an interview with you this way. All right, here's the question we have today. With all the ascending stars in the NBA, do you have to win a championship to be crowned a superstar?
I'm going to say no. I'm not in the rings, ZZZZ rings culture. Sect. I don't really believe in that. We have seen plenty of superstars over the decades who are all-time greats, and we all know they're all-time greats, and we all know that under different circumstances, especially if they didn't, weren't blocked by Michael Jordan maybe in the 90s or blocked by Tim Duncan for parts of the 2000s or Shaq and Kobe, or now blocked by LeBron and Steph Curry, there are other guys who could have broken through. So I don't hold that as some absolute standard, but it's interesting because we are in this moment where, Steph Curry and LeBron, who have been the standard bearers in the face of the league, that kind of mythical title that we love to use, they're nearing their horizons, whenever those may be. And so we're looking to Anthony Edwards, and we're looking to Luka Doncic, and we're looking at Jason Tatum. And, let's even throw Tyrese Halliburton in there because, hey, he's got his team in the conference finals. We are looking around and saying who's next. And you don't have to win a championship right off the bat to clinch that status. You need to be an absolute stud athletically, of course. You need to win a lot of games. You need to be in a lot of postseasons. You need to have moments. It helps if you have a lot of charisma, as some of them do. But the rings part of it, I feel like it's more part of the legacy discussion, Hall of Fame discussion. But it's, again, I don't think you have to have it to clinch that status as one of the faces of the league. But there's certainly an opportunity for some of the young players I just mentioned to go ahead and grab that in the next few weeks, which certainly helps the cause.
I mean, we've had a great time watching the comedic stylings of Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns after their win. But as we look ahead at this series, how competitive can they be against Dallas? How do you like this one?
It's a really fascinating series, right? Because the Timberwolves haven't been this far in 20 years, and the current stars were, you know, probably in the proverbial diapers at the time, or not very far beyond that, if anything. And the Mavericks, you know, they made a conference finals a couple years ago against the Warriors. I don't think anybody thought they were really ready to break through then. They might be ready to break through now. But this is one of those series where you look at it and you could talk yourself, you know, in circles as to who should be the favorite or how long this is going to go. This is an opportunity for Luka in particular, right? He finished third in the MVP voting. He's been a perennial MVP candidate for the last several years. And he's got a phenomenal co-star now in Kyrie Irving, who a lot of us, certainly I, was skeptical that that pairing was going to work, and it's worked fabulously. That's an incredible and very lethal 1-2 punch. They've got some great role players and defenders around them. So that all said, the Mavericks are more, they're a little younger in their process, right? Like Kyrie just got there, you know, 14 months ago or whatever it was. This is their first full season together. Derek Lively, their starting center, is a rookie. Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, who we've all raved about how great a contribution they've made since the trade deadline, got there at the trade deadline. So they're still a little new. The Wolves, on the other hand, this is two full seasons now with Rudy Gobert. This is multiple seasons with Towns and Anthony Edwards. That core has been together for a bit. Their coach has been there. Everybody's been in place. If I have to pick, and I hate picking, I lean toward the Wolves in this series only because I think there's a little more continuity and just time together. The chemistry is established, but also they've got size, right? Like that Towns-Gobert front court is a beast. Just ask Nikola Jokic, who just had to wave goodbye a couple days ago. And I do think it's going to be really interesting to see Lively and Gafford, who have just feasted at the rim off of Luka lobs in particular. Are they going to get those same opportunities when you've got 2 7-footers, you know, standing around the paint?
Yeah, and Jaden McDaniels, and Karl-Anthony Towns, and Naz Reid. I mean, you're seeing that when Anthony Edwards talked about that. When he had a slow game offensively, he could trust his players around him to pick up where he left off. I mean, we saw that happen effectively. So if we take that into consideration, how do you like their game versus the Dallas game?
I think the first thing I'm really interested to see is, I assume it's going to be Jaden McDaniels on Luka, but it's probably going to have to be a lot of people on Luka. Anthony Edwards, in the wake of that Game 7 win, was already talking about, and I love hearing this from a young star, right, who's like, here's this guy, he's got all this game, all these skills. Anthony Edwards is, you know, going to throw 20, 25, 30 points on the board, and in creative ways. He's explosive, he's skilled, he's got great footwork. But the first thing he's telling the, I think it was the TNT crew on Sunday in the wake of that win was, and Kyrie's my assignment.
That's it.
I can't wait to go check Kyrie. And he boasted about locking down Jamal Murray in the second half of Game 7. That's just awesome when you hear a young player just really enthused about the defensive assignment. And I think Anthony Edwards, he's a great defender. If he can lock up Kyrie and the Wolves can muster enough defense to throw at Luka, you know, it's going to be a really tough uphill battle for the Mavericks, right? Because all of their scoring is generated by those two stars. And the Timberwolves were, I think, number one or number two in defense all year. And they have the personnel to stymie just about anybody. Again, Ask the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs. And so this is going to be a really tough test for the Mavericks, but I don't rule them out.
And it's funny, I just looked it up. Kyrie's 32, Anthony Edwards is 22. So he definitely grew up watching him and thinking to himself, you must have imagined like he's boxing with himself, trying to think about who he's going to match up against. And then it's probably Kyrie back then, and it's Kyrie right now. You know, we talked to Christopher Russo in the first hour about Kyrie and who he's become here in Dallas. What do you think of this metamorphosis of Kyrie Irving as he continually seems to reinvent himself?
It's really fascinating, Susie, because at the time that Kyrie forced his way out of Cleveland, I just like my jaw dropped. Like, we were already firmly into this era of superstar empowerment and guys moving around more than we'd ever seen before. And I understood it and I support it. But I'd never seen a player decide, I don't want to be with the defining player of my generation who I've gone to three finals and won a championship with. I want to be somewhere else. And he ends up in Boston, and it doesn't go well. And it goes pretty badly, in fact, for a couple of years. And then he lands in my backyard in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, and to all kinds of circumstances that we do not need to relive or relitigate, it does not go well here in Brooklyn either. By the time the Mavericks traded for Kyrie Irving last year, there were very, very few teams in the NBA who really wanted to take a chance on him. And it was viewed as a risk, for sure. All that talent notwithstanding, and everybody acknowledges his talent and everybody admires his talent, but there was a risk because of his personality, because of things that had happened on court and off. And ever since getting to Dallas, Kyrie Irving has been, you know, damn near perfect as a player, as a teammate, as just a general citizen. There has been nothing really to complain about. There have been no red flags. There have been no distractions. And unlike all those years ago when he forced his way out of Cleveland, where it seemed like maybe he wasn't comfortable having to play the co-star role with LeBron, with somebody who was, you know, a bigger, brighter star, he seems comfortable with that now. More than that, like, you've seen even in this postseason run, there's times where it's like, he's got 9 or 10 assists and he's not scoring much, or he's got 12 assists and he's only scoring 9 points or whatever. There was a game like that just a week ago, I think, and that he's comfortable being in more of an opportunistic scorer, not needing to dominate the ball, not worrying about numbers. You know, his ego seems to have, kind of been tamped down over this time. And maybe those are just the lessons you learn after bouncing around for a little bit and realizing that the market has the bottom has fallen out for you. And like Kyrie himself, prior to his final season in Brooklyn, on that media day, I remember him saying specifically that he didn't opt into free agency or pursue that route because he knew that there was really nothing out there for him. So he knew he needed to rehab himself, and he's done a fantastic job.
Howard Beck joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Before we turn to the series for which Brockman will keep a pail between his legs, what do the Nuggets need to do to stay competitive in the West?
It's getting tougher and tougher, Susie. We are certainly living in an era of incredible parity in the NBA. A few weeks from now, the NBA will crown its sixth different champion in a six-year stretch. That hasn't happened since the late 70s. And most teams that are winning the title are built around, you know, not multiple superstars. We are long past the superstar or the super team era. It's now, you know, usually one supreme star and a bunch of really well-calibrated role players around him, right? The Giannis Bucks were like that. The Kawhi Leonard Raptors were like that. The Jokic Nuggets are like that. All due respect to Jamal Murray, but he hasn't even made an all-star team yet. So your margin for error is a little bit thinner when it's one superstar plus a bunch of really good role players. And so, you know, we saw that with the Nuggets. There's obviously, a little bit of attrition too when just you've had a long season and played into June last year. There's all of that. The new CBA makes it really tough to retain talent and to keep paying or adding talent. And the Nuggets faced that last offseason when they lost Bruce Brown and Jeff Green to free agency. They didn't really have a bench to lean on. And Michael Malone mentioned that more than once, you know, over the last few days of the postseason and during the regular season even. So what do they do? They're not going to have a lot of tools at their disposal to add in free agency this summer unless guys want to come there for minimum contracts, which maybe, you know, playing with Jokic just is a lot of fun and gives you a chance to chase a title. So that could happen. The really interesting scenario would be, do you trade one of your core pieces? You know, Michael Porter Jr. is making a lot of money, $35 to $40 million over the next few years. And you know, could you trade him for 2 to 3 pieces to help replenish the rotation? But they also have, you know, another looming concern, which is that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was the critical last piece of that starting lineup that they acquired before they won the championship, he can opt out in the summer and almost certainly will. And he's a great 3-and-D player who's won championships with two different teams and who's going to be, you know, heavily pursued and recruited. So if they lose KCP, they're going to have an even tougher uphill battle than what you're alluding to right now. But it's going to be tough regardless because Dallas isn't going anywhere. Minnesota's not going anywhere. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who the Mavericks beat, they're very, very young and only getting better and with plenty of flexibility to keep building. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Nuggets.
The Ringer's Howard Beck right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Boston hasn't won a championship in 15 years. And before that, the last time they won one, I was a freshman in high school in Boston. Is this the year?
It very well could be. I think we've all had them pegged as the Eastern Conference champion since, you know, July. So if they falter now against a Pacers team that was a 6th seed and that is young and that was not even expected to be anywhere near this deep in the postseason, that would be a colossal failure. The question has always been, if the Celtics get to the finals, were they going to be good enough to beat the Denver Nuggets? Well, that problem is solved. Are they going to be good enough to beat the Timberwolves or the Mavericks? I think they could match up well with both of them. And I think if Kristaps Porzingis gets healthy some point during the course of the conference finals and is ready to play in the finals, I think the Celtics are going to be an incredibly tough opponent for either of the Western Conference teams. But I don't know, Susie. I really don't know. The Celtics, this is their 6th conference finals in the last, I think, 8 years, which is incredible. It is the most successful overall run of any team. And the most consistent by far, and that Tatum and Brown tandem has been incredible at their best. But they have these like glitches at times, right? Sometimes it's a quarter, sometimes it's a game, sometimes it's a series. And they, you know, I think everybody kind of looks at them with admiration for their talent and everything that they've done, but with a little bit of skepticism or suspicion because they have these untimely pratfalls. They had more talent than the Warriors 2 years ago in the finals and by, you know, a lot of measures, maybe should have won that series. And now they're a little bit older. They're a little more experienced. They're a little bit, I think, deeper and better built. And especially if they have Porzingis, they will be in much better shape to try to win a championship in a couple weeks than they were 2 years ago.
Hey, Howard, I'm a Celtics fan, so I watch these games with frustration and, you know, anticipation. Like you said, they do a lot of dumb things. They give a lot of games away, kind of careless the way they play at times. What is the opinion of Joe Mazzulla? Do you think he's done a great job? Does he get enough credit because he's kind of coaching a quote-unquote super team? What is your assessment of him in year two?
Mazzulla's in an interesting spot, right? Because, you know, as we know, two summers ago, he's thrust into the spotlight into this job when Ime Udoka had to step down, and he didn't have, you know, much in the way of experience at the NBA level or period. And it was a bumpy, I think, first year for him. And I'm sure you, like a lot of Celtics fans, were ready to throw him overboard at times. I think he's acquitted himself really well in year two. He's more comfortable. He has, I think, managed, you know, a rotation that is filled with talent, right? It's not a super team by traditional standards, but two stars, a bunch of other guys who have been stars or have star capability. And I think he's managed it all really well. I think he's grown into the role. I think that he could probably stand to be a little bit more, I don't know, loose, personable in his interactions with the media, because I think part of the tension or the skepticism of him has been that the way he presents sometimes is a little uptight and very self-serious. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily matter for a head coach, but, you know, public relations kind of matters too. Messaging matters. And I think people, when they see that, they wonder, well, my God, if you feel this uptight in your press conferences, what are you like in the locker room? And so, you know, I think it also is a case where when you're young and in that job and in that role with all the pressure and all the expectations and spotlight that comes with that job in particular, it's also understandable. And I think it takes time to get comfortable enough in yourself and in that role to maybe let your guard down a little bit.
Well, and you're following up Ime, who I always said he was the toughest player on the team, and he was the head coach, you know, and he wasn't exactly Mr. Nice Guy.
Susie Schuster and I covered Ime Udoka in Laker training camp about 100 years ago, so there's that.
I mean, we covered a lot of crazy stories together. How many do we have that were like, we had some good JJ, we had some good JR Ryder stories. We had a lot of weird stuff going on when we covered the team. Speaking of which, the headlines out here are the saying that LeBron is not involved in the Lakers head coaching search. Who are we kidding, right? That's like ridiculous, right? Of course he is.
You know, there's a lot of wiggle room in there. You know, what does not involved mean? You know, all right, he's probably not in Rob Pelinka's office, like putting names on the dry erase board, but
no, he has a button that he presses, and he probably shows up like a Jetsons, like on the screen in Rob Pelinka's office. Who are we kidding?
I like the idea of like hologram LeBron just kind of pops in every so often.
100%. Rob, LeBron is on the hologram.
I think it would be ludicrous to think in today's NBA, with as much power as superstars have and have deserved most of the time, that you're not at least making a call and consulting. Like, before Rob Pelinka makes his list of finalists, it would be foolish not to at least, if not talk to LeBron directly, then at least to talk to the people who talk to LeBron and get a feel for, you know, somebody, because you don't want to hire somebody who he's absolutely opposed to or absolutely has no respect for. You don't necessarily need to choose somebody at LeBron's request either, but the idea that he's not involved at all, yeah, certainly strains credulity.
TJ?
Hey, Howard, what's up? I'm a Sixers fan and I'm a Clippers fan, so it's not always that great for me. So I don't want to talk about both of them right now. I'm going to specify the Sixers. They got almost $59 million in cap space next year, right? What's the word, man? Can you help me feel good about this offseason? Who can you see the Sixers signing to help Embiid and Maxey go to the next level?
Admittedly, I have not dug that deep into it yet, but it's funny that your combination of teams, it's the Sixers and Clippers, who they... Sixers might want to be poaching a star from.
Right.
Outside of the Paul George scenario, it's a little difficult. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I mentioned earlier, would be a fantastic addition to the Sixers. He'd be a fantastic addition just about anywhere. And I think the one thing to keep an eye on, you know, Daryl Morey's pretty shrewd about this stuff, and he knows as well as anybody. We haven't seen a lot of superstars or even second tier stars change teams in free agency in recent years. Most of those changes have been via forced trades. We are in an environment where, again, as I alluded to earlier, the new CBA that kicked in a year ago and more of those restrictions have kicked in since makes it really tough for the high spenders to keep spending. And so teams are going to have to probably shed salary. And when you have cap room, when you're one of the few teams below the cap and by a lot in the case of the Sixers, you can make unbalanced trades in terms of the salary cap. You can acquire a lot of salary. So I suspect, and I have not asked, but I suspect that the Sixers are thinking, yeah, let's go chase Paul George or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or whoever else may be a top tier or second tier free agent or a combination thereof. But we're also going to see an offseason here, I think, where teams are going to be forced to shed players that they would rather keep. And the Sixers will be in a great position to say, hey, we are your cap relief. You know, we've got, you know, a couple of smaller, you know, contracts to send you or some picks or whatever it may be. And I will say with some confidence, I don't like predictions, but I will predict with some confidence that by mid-July, the Sixers will have restocked pretty well around Embiid and Maxey. I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be somebody.
So I should hold out hope then.
You should hold out hope for the Sixers. I don't know what to think about your Clippers, especially if the Sixers get your Clippers second best player.
We'll save that for the next time you call in, Howard.
I got one last Lakers question. It's such a weird question. Do you think people even want that job the way they used to want that job? It comes with a little bit of a headache, don't you think? I think it's a really complicated question.
Susie, I think it goes back to the old cliche that you and I have heard 8 billion times, which is that there's only 30 of these jobs, and the Lakers among those jobs is even in the worst of times, and this is definitely not the worst of times, right? Like, they've had some really rough periods, but even in the worst of times, the Lakers job is the Lakers job. It is still a glamour team in a glamour city. And yeah, it comes with a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny. And it comes with the knowledge that the last couple of coaches have not lasted very long. One of them, despite winning a championship, Frank Vogel. So, you know, you go in eyes wide open if you're taking that job, of course, and you get whatever assurances you can. But I will say this. I have much more concern for the Lakers in terms of what they do with the roster than what they do at the head coaching spot. Mm-hmm. I think Darvin Ham, for any flaws that people will point to, and I know Laker fans will point to many, Darvin Ham was a perfectly capable coach. Frank Vogel was a clearly capable coach and won them a championship. That they both got fired is at least in large part due to the fact that the Lakers did not sustain the championship core that they had around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so I have much more concern with the way the front office has operated over the last few years, both with regard to coaches and with regard to roster building, than I do with who's going to ultimately sit in that seat and draw up plays.
Yep. Yep. I hear you. Howard, thank you again for your time. Love having you on as always.
Susie, always a pleasure. Say hi to Rich for me.
I will do that indeed. Doesn't Howard look like he's at a rave somewhere, by the way, in the background? He's about to head out clubbing for the night.
I assure you I'm not.
I only wish you would. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got to do more win-loss. I mean, I've got all these great people holding on.
Win-loss.
So win-loss when you come back. Let's go to break. Who's up first?
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Win-loss, people, because you know I love it so much. Mike in Florida, the Bucks. You got the Bucks win-loss. You've been holding for an hour and a half. I love you. Hey, how you doing, bud?
Susie, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I've called in a few times, but this is the first time I've been able to speak with you, so I feel truly honored.
Well, I'm so psyched that you waited to talk to us, so thanks again. You know how seriously I take the caller, so I appreciate your time.
No sweat. But actually, I want to do the Giants win-loss, not the Bucks.
Giants.
If that's okay.
All right, let's do it.
Hold on. That's on Del Tufo.
That's on Mike.
There's two Mikes waiting.
Yep, and they're both Florida, which screwed me up.
Except one says Florida. Mike constantly has your back.
All right, let's go. Rapid fire. Can I have music, please?
Are we doing the Giants or do we want
Giants?
Which
week one.
Got it. All right.
Minnesota. Let's go.
That's a win. Home rookie quarterback. They're going to be facing a rookie quarterback. That's a win.
At Washington, week two.
Loss.
At Cleveland, week three.
Loss.
Dallas, week four.
I hate the Cowboys. Sorry, TJ, but that's also a loss.
At Seattle, week five.
Right.
Loss.
Cincinnati on Peacock, Sunday Night Football, on NBC. Cincinnati.
Loss.
Philadelphia, week seven.
Loss.
At Pitt, week eight.
That's six in a row.
At Pitt, that's a loss.
Eight. Washington, week nine.
That's a win.
Carolina, week 10.
Win.
Pets in Germany. Rich might be there. Maybe I'll go to that one. Bye week, and then Tampa Bay. Week 12.
Loss.
At Dallas, week 13.
Loss.
New Orleans, week 14.
That's a win.
All right.
At home, that's a win.
I hear you. Baltimore, week 15.
Loss.
At Atlanta, week 16.
Loss.
Indy, week 17.
Loss.
Closing up at Philly, week 18. This what guy. Do you got?
4-13, number one draft pick for the Giants. That's a loss.
Wow, fantastic. You played that beautifully.
So number one pick is 4-13? I think you might be right about that.
I think so.
I appreciate your honesty, Mike, in Florida.
Thank you, Mike.
One of the few people who was honest with yourself.
That's for my brother, who's a diehard Giants fan. God bless him.
Hey, it's better than the Patriots are going to be. All right, how about the other Mike? Mike in Florida for Bucks. Let's go, Mike.
Mike in Florida, Bucks.
Hi, Mike.
All right, what's up, brother?
Yeah, the second Mike in Florida.
How are you, Mike?
Good, how about yourself?
So great. I love sitting in here. Are you kidding? It's better than a real world, so I mean, I kind of like it. Okay, the other Mike in Florida. You are up as the other Mike in Florida. I love it. Ready? Let's go. Week one, Washington.
Welcome to the NFL, Jaden Daniels. Win.
Wow, I like it. At Detroit. That's a bold statement. I like it. You're here to play. Week two, at Detroit.
I think it's going to be redemption time for the two losses last year. I say win.
Ooh, I like the start. Denver, week three. Confidence is king.
Who do they have for a roster now?
Week four, Philadelphia.
Wait a minute, is that a...
That's a win against Denver?
I've been in Philly a lot lately, so I think that's a loss.
Okay. But you're saying... I'm joking, but you are saying Denver's a win, correct?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, okay. At Atlanta, week five.
We don't like Sean Payton anyway, so...
Mm-hmm, I hear you. Week five, at Atlanta.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You've had an hour and a half to think about this, though.
If Kirk Cousins is playing, I say it's a loss. If he's not, I say it's a win. So I'll say a loss.
All right, I'll take it. At New Orleans, week six.
3-2.
Win.
Week seven, Baltimore. Mikey, I think we need NFL Films music. I feel like let's give the guys.
That's what this is.
This is?
This is Films,
this feels like Pink Panther cartoon caper.
This is NFL Films.
I don't know. I like the whole autumn wind thing. All right, week seven, Baltimore.
Oh, God, we can never beat them. I don't know where we're at home on, a Sunday or Monday night?
Monday night.
That's it. Now I'm excited.
I got to say loss.
All right, week eight, Atlanta.
I think panic is in at that point, and it's a win.
Oh, fantastic. At KC, ooh, that's tough. Week nine.
5-3.
Ooh. That's another night game, too. I think we shot KC and we beat him there because we're going to lose against San Fran because I don't know when the last time we beat San Fran is. So.
Oh, wow. Then a bye at New York Giants, week 12.
6-4.
Do I really have to answer that?
Week 13 at Carolina.
I don't think I have to answer that one either.
All right, Raiders, week 14.
Who's week 14?
That's the Raiders.
Oh, Raiders. Yeah, it's a win.
At the Chargers with Harbaugh, week 15.
Ooh. I think, they'll hit their groove at that point. I just don't know if they have enough wide receivers to throw to at this point. I'll say it's a win.
All right, I like it. Your confidence is king. At TJ's Cowboys, week 16.
No, that's a loss.
All right, we already know what you're going to say for week 17, correct?
Yes.
All right, I like it. Week 18, New Orleans.
It's always a split with New Orleans, so it's going to be a split again this year.
All right, I hear you. What's the math on this, Christopher?
So that's a loss?
11-6.
A loss is 11-6. Playoffs, obviously, right?
Playoffs.
16, 17?
Yeah, playoffs, and I'll go a step further. I think it's us against Philly at home. We win.
Like last year.
Oh, then we go to Detroit in a divisional round and upset them and win. And then our nemesis, we go to San Francisco, and we shock the world and win.
So you're going to the Super Bowl.
And play the Bengals in the Super Bowl and win.
More on Joe Burrow later.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So wait, you're winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Hey, winning.
They said that about us in, what was that, 2020-21 season? And what did we do to the Chiefs?
No, you had Tom Brady. Everyone thought you were winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, you don't think Baker can get the job done, Chris?
No. Baker cannot win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
As much as I appreciate you staying on for an hour and a half, no, I don't think so.
All right, Mike, that was
great. But if they do, call back. I will send you a lovely parting package gift for you because I was wrong. Sure. Because if I'm wrong, I always say I was wrong. Except to my kids, because I'm always right.
Person that ever was in that captain's chair. So
I know. It's like out of the old movie. Like, what's it like? Was it broadcast news? What's it like being the smartest person in the room? And she says, "It's terrible." I know. All right, let's go. I want to play some more of these if you don't, Mike. Thanks for your time. How about Jason in Fresno with the Rams? Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
We're awesome. How are you?
What's up, dude?
Doing great.
All right, you ready to go? Music, please, Mikey. Ready.
Wait, are you doing win-loss or which games Mike and I are selling our tickets to?
Oh,
which,
my God.
Hold on. Which one are you doing?
I think we already figured those ones out.
Lame. Week one at
week
Detroit.
Three for sure. Week one at Detroit, rematch of last year's best wild card game. That is probably going to be close, but I think Detroit wins it.
All right, week two at Arizona.
Hangover from that first game. I think we lose that one too.
Ooh. All right. Week three, San Francisco. Come on.
0-2.
Ooh, 0-3.
Let's go. You can start.
This is a game that, you know, it's actually a home game for San Francisco because a few people sell their tickets.
All right.
We're gonna get this win.
Ooh, okay.
The start at Chicago, Caleb Bowl, week four.
We are lucky to get Caleb this early in his career. I think we get a win.
All right. Green Bay, week five.
McVay cannot beat the Packers, so that's an L.
Wow. Bye week, then week seven, Las Vegas.
The Raiders.
Raiders? You know, who's their quarterback?
Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, it is an owner's meeting week, and it could be Tom.
Ken Stabler.
Owner quarterback?
No, that's not going to happen. Analyst, quarterback, owner. It's a lot of stuff going on. All right, are we win or loss on week seven?
That's going to be a loss.
All right, week eight, Minnesota.
2-4.
You know what? That is going to be a win.
Week nine at Seattle.
Seattle, that's a win.
Week 10, Miami.
You're 4-4.
I think that's going to be a loss.
All right, week 11's a loss. Week 12, Philadelphia.
Let's see. You know, I think we get Philadelphia this year. That's a win.
Week 13 at New Orleans.
That's a win.
This is tough. Week 14, Buffalo.
I don't think the Rams have beat Buffalo since they've been back in L.A., so I don't see them doing it again. So that'll be another L.
All right, week 15, that's at San Francisco.
We split it with the Niners this year. That's a loss.
At the New York Jets.
That is definitely a win.
Arizona, week 17.
That's a win.
All right, week 18, Seattle.
And we close it out with a win against the Seahawks.
Wow. All right, nicely done. Thank you so much for your time.
Now, did he predict a win or a loss against the Patriots?
Yeah, did I miss a week?
I just said we expect the Patriots to lose, right?
Oh, what week was that?
But Jason didn't answer.
That was, hold on.
Week 11.
I can't take my pen off this. I'm so afraid to get lost. Yeah, week 11.
Is he still on the phone?
No.
No, we dumped him. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
Mike.
We didn't.
I just assumed you were going to say that you were going to beat the Patriots, but what else is new? All right, can we take Nick?
That's 9-8. 9-8 for the Rams?
Nick in Portland, Oregon. Broncos.
I'll say 9-8.
Nick is up.
Hey, Susie,
all right, Nick.
I got 10-6, Chris.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for calling, and I really appreciate your time. Let's go. Yes. Hold on. I got to find it. Denver. Here we go. Mikey?
Unlike the other Mike in Florida, I'm ready. Hour and a half, I'm good.
I mean, right? You're ready. You're not going to stumble on this one, right?
Nick,
Mikey, you ready?
Hold on a second.
Week one at Seattle.
Win.
Week two, Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Week three at Tampa Bay.
Loss.
Week four at the Jets.
Win.
Week five, Raiders.
Win.
Week six, Harbaugh.
Win.
Week seven at New Orleans.
Loss.
Week 8, Carolina.
Loss.
Week 9, at Baltimore.
Loss.
Week 10, at KC.
Loss.
Week...
Four in a row.
Oh, week 11, Atlanta.
I'm going to go with another loss.
Five in a row.
Week 12, at the Raiders.
Win.
Week 13, Cleveland.
Loss.
Then a bye week. Week 15, Indy.
Win.
Week 16, at the Chargers.
Win.
Week 17, at Cincy.
Loss.
Finishing up at KC, week 18.
I'm going to go with a win because I think Kansas City's already going to be resting guys. So, you know, this is just an asterisk win. But
right. Home,
I've really
KC.
Got them as a loss. It's a loss at 7-10. But I'm going to go with an 8-9. Just
8-9. Optimistic.
People. Excellent. And great job on the rapid fire as well.
Well done,
Thank
Nick.
You.
Perfectly done.
Well done, Nick.
It was great. Well, they cut the music out so fast. I wasn't ready. You threw me. Do we have time for one more? Do we have time for one more before break? Or we'll take a break?
Let's break. Let's break.
All right,
come back.
Fine.
We'll do a couple more.
I brought it back.
See? Be that way. Let's take some more when we come back, though. We got a lot more ahead of us here on The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back on The Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster in for Rich. I am excited to go see Caitlin Clark this week.
Nice.
We're going to go see her on Friday with Taylor and
Where
some
are we
of her
sitting?
Friends. I don't know. We were actually invited, which is really exciting.
Oh, so you didn't get your tickets off the app because you would have known where you
to
were
bring you?
Yeah.
No, but if you want to come to my house, you can watch it on the TV.
While you're gone?
Yeah.
So you'll be at the game and I'll just be at your house.
You can just put Cage on the floor in front of us with a lot of toys.
Just me and the dogs.
Just you and the dogs. It'll be really great. That said, I'm usually the one who buys all the tickets for the family because let's face it, who are we kidding, right?
Right.
Who are we kidding?
That's why I'm saying you didn't get them off the Game Time app or else you know where you were.
I live on the Game Time app,
you know?
And I'll tell you why. Because I can see where I'm going to sit because I'm really picky about where I'm going to sit. This week I'm pretty chill, Chris.
No, good.
I'm in the passenger Chill seat, zone. Not the driver's seat.
Look at you.
You like what I did there?
Adapting.
I like Game Time, you guys, because I want to see where I'm going to sit. I've got three kids with three different needs. I've got to go to a lot of tickets, a lot of games, a lot of events. I got to buy a lot of tickets. So I go on Game Time because I know I'm going to get the best prices. I'm going to see where I'm going to sit in advance because when you have a little kid, the worst thing you can do is buy three expensive seats or even inexpensive seats and you get there and you can't see. It stinks. So on Game Time, I can see where I'm going to sit. There's all these last-minute deals, lowest prices guaranteed. It's fantastic, and it's for real. So take the guesswork out of buying these tickets on Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use the code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off of your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create the account, redeem the code R-I-C-H for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We looked at Joe Burrow in an old video while everybody was at break. When those of us on Roku are looking at Joe Burrow, there's a questionable picture floating around, boys, yeah, of Joe Burrow possibly sporting a new do. Could this
be a real picture
or is this photoshopped Chris Brockman?
Like, I saw this floating around last night and I saw it and I'm like, TJ, you know, the Spidey sense went up. Mm-hmm. This can't be real.
Yeah.
So I tried to see if anyone official posted it. Like, was it on the Bengals account?
Yeah. Was it on his account?
Did Joe himself post it? Did
Jamar Chase post it?
Did his lady friend? Did his Jamar Chase? Did T. Higgins? He's still his teammate, right? Did anybody
Coach O post it?
Did anybody actually post this who we believe?
Or is he in a vampire movie?
I couldn't find it. I just saw the photo and everyone was commenting on the same photo, you know, making the same Star Wars and Rob Lowe jokes. I want it to be real, TJ. You know what I mean? It's real to me, damn it.
Maria, I see.
Fake.
It's really good. Whoever did this, if this is Photoshop, which I guess we're leaning that way, right? It's really good.
But it looks a little bit like some kind of teen movie, correct?
80s movie.
Do we have some other comparisons to be made here?
He looks like the a-hole kid in every 80s movie that played a sport. So Johnny B. Goode or anything where there was a football
scene.
Just one of the guys.
Or was he in a Star Wars movie?
Or he could have a lightsaber.
Definitely
in his
looks
hand.
Like Hayden Christensen.
Or, you know, he could be holding a boombox over his head and trying to get Ione Skye to come out
of her
bedroom.
I think St. Elmo's fire bedroom. Sounds about no right doubt. To me. But here he is 5 days ago. This is a real photograph.
Released
by the Bengals. So there's no chance he grew that hair in 5 days.
Hair club and
that could be an old picture.
Unless he visited the hair club for men.
Exactly. He's not. That's fake.
That's Mr. Still Your Girl on the left, though.
You ain't
though. I'm
growing
telling
that
you
much hair in 5 days. I don't care.
So, Mike, you're on Team Fake?
Team Fake.
Let's take a look at him from today. I mean, do we have a video of him from today? I think we do. Here it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Here it comes, and my eyes see...
A normal hair length.
Normal hair length Joe Burrow.
All right.
It's kind of a bummer.
Do you think Dan Hort posted if he did have that 80s... Revenge of the Sith look. Would that have been a red flag? Should Bengals fans have been concerned?
Like, is he having, like, a breakdown?
Yeah, or just like, what are we doing?
No, if I was a Bengals fan, I would be like, yo, my man is so committed to working out and rehabbing and getting in his playbook. He doesn't have time to go see Benny Blades.
Benny Blades.
There's no time for Benny Blades to cut that mop, bro. Yeah. He is committed, and he's grinding, and he's in his playbook.
TJ, I'd like to see you with that hairdo. What do you think? A little bit of the Sith hairdo, perhaps?
Long hair.
Come on.
For some reason, when we taught, oh, my. God.
There he is. Our color commentator here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh my God, Benny Blades just said, TJ, get to Benny Blades right now.
I can't unsee that.
That is fantastic.
I'm a brother with locks. I got long hair already. You know what I'm saying? So my hair is long.
You could let your soul glow. You could let your soul glow there. Oh, Chris.
Now that's
keep it tight, brother.
That's an actor.
Keep it tight, brother.
If he could, he would. If he could, he would.
That's an 80s actor right there, Brock.
That's a smug.
Again, we talked about this yesterday with Tom. If I looked like that, I wouldn't be friends with any of you jokers. I'd have a big house somewhere in the hills.
So you're saying that your lack of hair is keeping you back? Oh, Mikey, you look like you're in Frozen.
Mike looks like the guy who's like under a rock kid's beer.
You look like you're anime.
No, I should be in the Sphere with the Grateful Dead playing drums.
Like a caveman.
No, man.
Oh my God.
You look like Anna's new boyfriend in Frozen 3.
Brockman looked like Mother. Oh, wow.
Good Lord.
Wow. Susie. He looks like somebody, though.
Susie he does look like somebody.
Who does he look like?
Andrew Shue.
No, he does look like Andrew Shue.
It's somebody else.
Susie, let me ask you something. Does that hair make you think about number four?
Paging Laura Wasser. Laura Wasser, line three. Oh, boy, one more.
So no baby
Can't
number
be
four?
Me.
No. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
That's a rough look, and someone's going to pay for that one. And wipe.
What picture is that? Where is that from?
Yeah, I was 8 months pregnant with...
Which kid?
Taylor. 8 months pregnant in that picture, by the way. By the way, sun's out, guns out.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just saying, someone's going to be paying for that, Sean Mitchell. I know where you live. I know your address. And guess what? I know I'm coming for you next. All right, hour three is up ahead of us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich is coming back tonight, but I may just lock him in the bedroom tonight and come back tomorrow. Still on Roku, and guys, let me tell you, Sean Mitchell
Susie, you look like Pat Benatar's backup singer in that picture.
You just open this up for business.
I mean, Switch doesn't
When you put up pictures
like?
Of a woman, people, you got it. Oh, get it off and wipe. And wipe.
That's amazing.
When you put up a picture of a 50... I was 8 months pregnant in that picture.
She went on tour with Kylie Minogue in that picture.
I should be so lucky.
At least give me some kind of like Kardashian, like, give me some kind of Game of Thrones mop if you're going to do that. At least let me see what I'd look like as Khaleesi. Like, every woman kind of want to look like Khaleesi. I look like a Def Leppard groupie in that picture.
Hey, you know?
You're going.
Def Leppard groupie.
You look like you were on the album cover of Slippery When Wet for Bon Jovi, but then they decided to go with the other...
Can I tell you something? Felly yesterday was playing a John Bon Jovi song. I don't even think it was Bon Jovi, but literally I had to say to him, like, can you not put that on? Because I love that song so much that I can't prep for the show. I went through a hardcore Rich had John Bon Jovi on a couple weeks ago.
I was screaming inside.
Like, that's cool.
I kept waiting for you to walk around the corner, but you didn't.
I thought about it. Not really, because I'm going to say this on TV, and I love John Bon Jovi more than life itself, but some men shouldn't wear a baseball hat. I just think I can't see John Bon Jovi in a baseball hat. All right, and in 3, 2, 1, and wipe. Because Rich looks like he's got like a fake hairpiece on there. Like, you can see the... you can see the headband underneath. It's such a rough look.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.